Good to be here on tonight. It's good to see everyone visiting with us. I want to let you know you're an honored guest. Thank you for being here. Chad, good to see you. See you and your family. We are going to be studying the Johns, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John this summer. And it's going to be a good study. Brother Brian and I are going to be tag-teaming these studies. I believe it's going to be very beneficial for all of us. And so hope, pray, and trust that we can kind of take comfort, take joy in the things that we're going to be embarking on. I want to start off our lesson with one word, and it is fellowship. What is that? What is that? Kipton, I need you to come here real quick. Let me have Evan. Let me have Bentley. Give me Brian, too. Why not? And when you think about fellowship, we're talking about a joint participation. No, you don't need your Bible. Give me a handbook. I wanted to start it off this way. Because when we think about fellowship, we're talking about, if I could say it this way, holding hands. But in order to be holding hands, you got to be on one accord. You got to be speaking the same things, same mind, same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. And when we think about this, we think about the God of heaven. You have God the Father, God the Son, and the Spirit, and they're all one. They're always speaking the same things. They're one. They have fellowship, joint participation with one another. Now, I want all of us here to smile. Just smile. Smile to them. All right? We're all together smiling. Now, stop smiling and look at them kind of muggy. We're all together. Now, we're laughing, but really, you stop and think about it. This is how we're supposed to be in Christ, speaking the same things, behaving the same way. That doesn't mean we're all the same people, but we have the same behavior, Christ-like. Okay? All right, go ahead. We'll have more to say. Kipton, I want you to do some reading. Bentley, I want you to get your Bible ready. We're going to do a little bit of reading. You can go sit down too, Brian. In all seriousness.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
Real quick, that what you were saying brought to my mind, Amos 3, verse 3.
That's right.
Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, that's a form of fellowship.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. 1 John 1. 1 John 1, let's look at the first four verses. And Kipton, I want you to read verse number 4, and I want you to read that on purpose. And Bentley, I want you to read verses 1 through 3. So verse number 4, I'm really trying to make this as simple as possible, because there are some complex teachings in here, right, Brother Brian? There's some complex things, but we need to make this simple so all of us can benefit from it. Okay, so in verse number 4, Kipton, I want you to read that if you can. Now, if you notice, and I love starting with this passage first, Brother Evan, because we understand that the things that John is writing is for the purpose of joy being full. Joy being full. A few months ago, we talked about joy all month. And how our joy is supposed to be full. And it's full when we're actually doing the will of God. When we're keeping the commandments of God. And when we're keeping God's commandments, then we ought to have a joy, a glee, a happiness that should be filled to the full within our hearts. Okay? Bentley, verses 1 through 3, please.
And truly our fellowship is with the Father
Great job. Great job reading. Now, if we take notice of these texts, notice he's talking about the Christ and how he was in the beginning and how he was in the beginning with the Father. And if you take notice of what he says, John, which is the apostle of love, he says that we handled him, we heard him, we saw him. Actually, it's what is called empirical evidence, or we're able to actually, with our five senses, well, hold on. Someone young, tell me, what are the five senses? Give me one. Anybody? So, ma'am? Sir? Sight? Or Kipton?
Smell.
Say again? Taste? Hearing? Yes.
Touch.
And touch. Okay, good. Good. All right. So when we stop and think about it, we're talking about John, and John is saying we experience the Christ. We experience the one that came from heaven that was sent by God to reveal him, to unfold him, to show us who he is. All right. Marshall, do you mind reading? Okay. Wesley? John 1:18. Matter of fact, John 1:14 and then John 1:18. Let's turn there. John 1:14 and John 1:18. If I call upon you and you don't feel comfortable, just say, I don't feel comfortable. No one's going to be made to do anything, okay? John 1:14 and John 1:18. Same author, same writer. Notice what the Bible here tells us. What does the Bible say, Wesley?
St. John.
St. John, yes, sir. Verse 18.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
All right, so Jesus came to declare the Father. How do we know God? We know him because he sent his Son. He came to declare him, to unfold him, to show us who he is. Let's go ahead and make this more practical just for us. How do people know who God is today? Through the Word of God, yes, but also through what? Through Christian living. What are some ways, now y'all talk to me, what are some ways that we can show people through Christian living that God exists? All right, by loving one another, by having compassion for one another.
By going to church.
Yeah, by attending services for sure. Yes, through forgiveness. Anyone else? Through our actions, Brother Velton. Appreciate that.
Our language,
the way we talk. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, Abby. Our attitudes. I saw a hand. The way we study God's word, studying the word of God. Brian, did you have your hand up? Yes, sir.
The way we handle conflict.
The way we handle conflict. Great. What else? Now, the things that, yes, yes, the way we present ourselves, that's exactly right. Hold on. God sent his Son to show us, the world, who he is, and Jesus did exactly that. And everything that we just mentioned was incorporated in that. That's exactly what it is. Any comments before we go any further? So we shouldn't make this harder than what it really is. Yes, sir, Brother Evan.
I believe we've seen a gospel account of Jesus showing who he was before he told him.
Great point. He showed who he was before he told him. Good. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Well, the fruit of the Spirit, of course, it lists all of those. And if we could do all that, we'd be well-known Christians.
That's right. That's right. And people can actually know that God lives in us. Now, the apostles, they said, well, let's look at it. In verse number one, it said, we heard, we seen with our own eyes, we looked upon him, our hands have handled him, the word of life. Talking about Jesus. In other words, you can trust us because we are the apostles. We actually experienced him, And we're showing you that he actually existed.
They were eyewitnesses.
Okay? So here's a question. Don't worry about old Jasper. It's good to hear them both talking. If we can take the eyewitness account of the apostles and trust what they're saying and read what they're saying, can we trust God? Yes or no? So someone might come and say, there's no God. God doesn't exist. Jesus wasn't real. Well, if these men were real, and they were, and they said that we saw him, we handled him, we touched him, we heard him, should we deny the evidence? Yes or no? We shouldn't deny the evidence. Any comments? Anybody want to help us out? Anybody?
Mike, you might point out that this book is addressing that very issue of doubt or the misconceptions surrounding who Jesus was.
That's right. That's right. So I'm going to throw out a big word. Young people, y'all listen to me. It's a big word that John was dealing with. It's called Gnosticism. Okay? Didn't really want to use it. Just kind of throwing it out there right now. As you're learning, you're growing, you'll come across some of the history of the book of John. And there were some people then that said that, well, Jesus wasn't true and Jesus wasn't on the cross. Therefore, God didn't come down. Well, if that's the case, we have no Christianity. If that's the case, we're still in our sins. If that's the case, then we're all lost. Raise your hand if you want to be lost. I don't. So, let's look at verse number three. That which we have seen and heard, John says, we declare to you, that you also may have. You remember when all five of us was up here holding hands with each other? Fellowship. Hold on. Brother Chad, what does it mean for us to hold hands with God? What does that mean?
The same mindset as him.
How would you explain that to your children?
You make your decisions based off of how God would make his decisions.
Did y'all hear what he just said? Isn't that beautiful? You would make your decisions based upon how God would make his decisions. Hold on. Isn't that what we've been talking about for the last 5-6 months? Making whose choice?
God's choice.
Making God's choice. How do I know I'm in fellowship with God? I'm holding hands with God. God and I are seeing eye to eye. How do I know? I'm making the decision he makes. I'm making his decision. What do some of those decisions look like? Anyone?
The lamp unto my feet and the light to my path.
All right. Psalm 119, verse 105. That's right. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto my path. Anyone else? What some of those decisions look like?
Hard.
Explain. Right. Anyone else?
Being confident that he is God.
Speak up, Eric.
Being confident that he is God.
All right, making the decision and being confident that God is God. That's good. That's actually a real good one. Yes? All right, making the right choice even when it's a difficult choice. That's right, Brother Jerry.
Our willingness to be with God.
What does that look like? Anyone else? Brother Jerry, that's actually a real good answer. Yes, Sister Gina.
Just like what Jerry was saying, being with him through his word all the time, but also being with his people, seeking him first through his word, being with his people and prioritizing being together over secular pursuits.
So, yes, Miss Evelyn.
Which I think is, what Gina was saying, I think is a giving up of our own will to do his will. that sacrifice of saying, even though this may be what I want to do, I am going to do what he instructs me to do instead.
So if I'm going to hold hands with the Father, who do I need to be holding hands with first?
God.
Say again? Jesus. That's right, Bentley. Jesus. Let's look at John 14. Let's look at verse number 6. Brother Brian, do you mind reading John 14, verse number 6? Jesus uses a word that's very important. And it's a three-letter word, starts with a W, ends with an A. Way. Okay? All right. Yeah, A-Y, A. Yeah, that's right. Way. That's right. John 14 and verse 6. Brian, what does that say?
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
We go through Jesus. We hold hands with the way, with the road, with the course, with the path. Jesus is the path. He's the one that we are holding hands with. And to hold hands with him is to hold hands with our Father. Okay? All right. Now, let's look at verses 5 through 7. Verses 5 through 7. One thing that John keeps bringing up is a message. He keeps bringing that word up, message. How many of y'all like when people call you and don't leave a message? Raise your hand if you don't like when people leave you a message. I mean, if they're going to call you, would you rather them leave your message? Leave me a message, right? Leave me a message. Well, what would the message convey? Person, maybe the nature of the call, and give me a call when, at your earliest convenience. Oh, it's an emergency. I need you to call me right now. The message. Let's look at verse number 5. Let me have Nate. Let's read 5 through 7. Yes.
This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
All right. What are some things that come out to you that just glaring? Let's make a comment real quick. I want to encourage, especially the parents, encourage your children to read. Read out loud. And not just the Bible, but encourage them to read. And as they're reading, encourage them to understand what they are reading. Slow down and understand what you're reading. We call that what?
Comprehension.
Sometimes we can concentrate so much on reading the words on the printed page that we're not understanding what we are reading. All right, so before we make any comments, in Proverbs 4 and verse 7, let's turn there real quick, Brother Mark, if you don't mind. Proverbs 4 and verse number 7, notice what Solomon says about what I just brought up.
Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding.
Get wisdom. Get understanding. If you're going to read something, read, Brother Evan, to understand what you're reading. A lot of times, people don't understand what they're reading. And so they have to read it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. That's me. Is there anything wrong with that? Yes or no? There's nothing wrong with that. Brother Royce.
That just ties into Proverbs 23:23. We oftentimes just read
that's a good point.
The truth and sell it not. It doesn't stop there. It says also wisdom, in other words, by wisdom and instruction and what? Understanding.
That's right.
Understanding is essential.
That's right. In Ephesians 5, verse number 15, the Bible teaches us to seek understanding. Okay? Seek understanding. Or is that 17? That's 17. Thank you. Any other comments before we go any further? All right, so what are some things that come out in 1 John 5, verses 1 John 1, verse 5 through 7? What are some things that just pop out? All right, God is light. We'll talk about that. What else? What else, Brother Jerry?
Concerning light, in Matthew 5, we are told you are the light of the world, let your light shine before men. And that light is not our light, it's God's light.
That's right. That's a great point. Anyone else? You have to do his will in order to be in fellowship with the Father. That's right. All right. So it's possible for us to have fellowship with the Father. You know, there are some people that actually believe that they can't. But he said that we can. Yes, sir, Brother Royce. I thought you had your hand up. Brian?
Well, it's a little philosophical maybe. But
that's fine.
The fact of the matter is that he has to write this book, or any book of the Bible, tell us what's already been demonstrated, tells us that we often forget. So without the Bible, even today, 2,000 years later, what would we look like? What would life? We would have forgotten. Even though historically, he declares in chapter 1, verse 1, we handled and touched him.
That's right.
If we didn't have this book, turn this book off in your mind. There's your darkness. Just turn it off. Try to pretend that the Bible was forgotten 2,000 years ago. What would life look like 2,000 years later? And now, again, ask yourself how much you forget.
That's right.
How busy you get in life. How distracted we all become. And so how essential this message is.
That's right.
God is life.
That's right.
And as Jerry said, it's not our life.
That's right.
But if we didn't have it, Jerry, we'd be in darkness.
That's right.
And it's amazing how we don't really appreciate it sometimes.
That's right. That's right. Anyone else?
What stands out to me is the ifs and the buts. So, you know, you have an if, which is a conditional word, and then you have a contrast to that, but. So he not only tells you what to do, but he tells you what not to do. And there's a condition to it.
So the Bible teaches us that God is light, and in him there's no what? Y'all get it? Get it? Here's the point. There's no sin in God, not any. There's no darkness in God, not any. Any. So when people, and there are people that actually say, well, God made me do it, and it wasn't right. No. God says, I'm light. It's declared that I'm light. And in me, there is nothing sinful at all. Nothing wrong. Nothing dark. Nothing evil. No mistakes in God. I believe as a church, we need to emphasize that even more. Because then what that's going to do is going to help us to be more like him. And when we do sin or make mistakes or go off the deep end sometimes, as we do sometimes, well, I think God put me in that position or allowed me to do that so I can really find out who he is. No, it doesn't work that way. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay, any comments? Brother Evan, is that clear? Does that make sense? God is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. Brethren, that's comforting. Because everything that I read about the God of heaven, I know is for our good. Any comments?
So you preached on David this morning.
Yes, sir.
And David's life is such a if and then, kind of like what Evan said. So much confusion and stuff going on, but the man always came back, and you emphasize that. But it's also an illustration of how much darkness erupts in a person's life when you make bad choices. So you have that if-then condition.
That's right.
Relationship. But it is a testimony of a man who could still himself be redeemed, though he lost
right.
two sons, had a daughter that was raped. You know, he had
by his son
a general that he had to put to death, or, you know, was basically put to Joab. You know, all these things, his son Obadiah. But that book, again, that story shows so much darkness. But in the midst there, you see the light of God.
That's right.
And that's what was said this morning. I kept seeing the light.
Amen. That's good. No, good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Look what he says in verse 7. Or 6, rather. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we're holding hands with God, and what? And walk in darkness. Now, Brother Bonner didn't say this. John said this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said what? We lie. Now, someone give me a working definition of a lie, even if I have to look it up. Miss Evelyn said not the truth. Pretty simple, right? John says if we say that we're holding hands with God and we're walking in darkness, John says we are what? Well, hold on. Who in here likes to be called a liar? I don't know too many people who think that's a badge of honor. Nobody thinks that's a badge of honor. Matter of fact, you liar. Next thing you know, Joe's putting up the like, what? No. What are you talking about? You call someone a liar, you better know what you're talking about. John 8, verse 44. Let's read that. John 8, verse 44. Eli, get that. Read that. John 8, verse number 44. Jesus, these are the words of Jesus Christ himself. It's important that if we say that we're walking in the light, it's important that we're actually walking in the light. What does that say?
You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. You are your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was murdered from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is not truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, and he is a liar and the father of it.
When I'm a liar, guess who's my father? Brother Chad? The devil. Now, I'm trying to make this it is a deep book. This chapter is pretty deep, but it's very practical, too. But it's so easy. The easiest person to deceive and lie to is who?
Yourself.
That's the easiest person to lie to. And John is saying, if we say that we are holding hands with God and we're walking in darkness, he says, you're a liar. And guess what's not in you? Truth. That's what John said. No one wants to believe that they are a liar. But the best way to not be a liar is to know the truth and do what with the truth? Walk in it. Apply it to your life. Tell it. It's always good to tell the truth. It's always good to walk in the truth. Any comments before I go any further? Any comments? Yes, Brother Leon. Right. Anyone else?
There's nothing in this passage that says a person has to stay this way. That's the condition part. It tells you this is what it is, and if you're saying it and you're doing this, you're lying. But guess what? You can change that.
That's right.
There can be a change in that condition.
That's right. Good. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Eli.
I guess in a sense of what Evelyn just says in Luke 5, verse 31, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent.
Okay.
So if you're not walking in righteousness, then, you know, it's your conscience. If you're not going to be truthful to yourself, you know, and that's one thing I was explaining to someone the other day, is God doesn't go to the righteous to repent of sin, but the sinners. You know, where are you going to turn your faith to, especially in worldly ways?
That's good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Why is this so important? Why is it so important, brethren, for us to walk in the light? Why is that so important? All right, it's the only way we'll have fellowship with the Father. Brian?
The
Apostle John deals with lying, truth, these different contrasting ideals. And if you want to live in an honest life, a Christian life, that Christ has presented, which is the godly life.
That's right.
Then you have to take this and you have to literally feast upon it. It has to become, you know, your mental anxiety. It has to become that which keeps you in the light.
That's right.
Because there will be a grapple. There will be a constant grapple in life.
That's right. Right. Anyone else? Thank you. What does walking in the light look like? What does it look like here, young people? What does it look like here? What does it look like? Yes, ma'am. How do you do that? Taking every thought captive. That's right. You have to confront those thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bringing every thought into what? To the obedience of Christ. It matters what I think. It matters what's going on in my mind. Jesus said something about that one time. He said, well, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's important what's in our hearts and our minds. It's important what we put in them. Why? Because it's going to come out in our actions and in our speech. What about darkness? What does that look like? Y'all ought to have a lot to say with this. What does darkness look like? Raise your hand if you want to make a comment. I can't see you when your hand down. What does darkness look like? Yes, Brother Evan.
John chapter 3, verses 19 and following. Darkness looks like hating the light. They want their deeds to be exposed, to be approved by the light. That's the comment from the world. The light came from the world, Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen. That's good. Great point. Yes, ma'am. No, you're good. Good. What else? Yes. Yes. Darkness is exactly that. Living in sin. Let's look at Isaiah 5. Let's look at verse 20. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Randy, do you mind reading Isaiah 5 verse 20? This is why it's so important for us to be honest. This is why it's so important for us to read the Word of God, be around those who read and study the Word of God, who apply the Word of God, so we can be held accountable, so we can hold each other accountable. In Isaiah 5 and verse number 20, during the time of Isaiah's day, they were struggling with a particular thing. And Isaiah, well, he pulls it out. He calls them to the carpet on it. He starts it off with a woe. What does the Bible say?
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
So, woe when you start mixing things together. Light and darkness can't coexist. I remember one time I had a 1976 Monte Carlo, Brian, and man, I love that car. Man, one time I'm driving that car, and man, it just started smoking. It just started smoking. I pull over. I take the radiator cap off. That was a mistake. Things, stuff went everywhere. Well, okay, put coolant in it, got it to the house, and blowing white smoke out the tailpipe. Oh, Daniel, you already knew what was going on, right? I figured I had a busted head gasket. No, I cracked the head on it. I cracked the head, but there was a problem. There was something mixed with my oil. What do you think it was?
Water.
That's never a good thing. It's never a good thing when your oil and your water mix. Hold on, it's never good when sin and righteousness come together. You know what God wants us to do? Make up your mind which one you want to do. Make up your mind. Very practical what John is teaching us. God is light. Yes, sir.
Because of the power of light to dispel darkness.
Right. It's a great point. Anyone else? Yes.
I don't know if you were going to go here too, but John 3, everybody always knows John 3:16.
truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God.
That's right.
If we really want to live the truth, everything that we're trying to do that is right is going to be clearly seen, and everything that we do that is wrong is going to be clearly seen. Because guess what? Because it's seen, now I have an opportunity for it to be called out, and then now I have an opportunity to correct it.
That's right.
But when we try to hide it, now we try to keep it in darkness, and it doesn't get called out, it doesn't get corrected, and the damage that darkness does just continues to grow.
That's good. Good. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Brian and then Eric.
That passage there is the best, in my judgment, of fruit bearing. Yeah. We know, we may not know what it is, but say as an eldership, we know when there's something wrong with our brethren.
That's right.
We can tell. I can tell it myself, my own life. Because of that passage, there's something being hidden. Maybe you're trying to work something out. And so we respect that time for a short period, but let it linger. Month we haven't seen you, or it's been a real consistent hit and miss.
That's right. Excellent.
You know, we have to, again, take those. That's exactly right about living in the truth.
Excellent. Both of y'all together combined, that's excellent. I hope y'all heard that. Because when we're working in our own minds and working through issues, trying to navigate life through the Word of God, with the brethren, with one another, let's not get into the practice of, well, I'm just going to hide in this. No, I want to expose my life to God so He can help me fix it. Because as soon as I begin hiding one thing, I'm going to hide another. And then I'm going to hide another. Next thing you know, I'm going to be consumed with darkness, and it's going to be difficult for me to come out. And Jesus says something, and it's tough. He said, if you die in your sins, can anyone finish it? Where I am, you cannot come. And our aim is to not die in our sins. This is why, when you think of 1 John 1 and verse number 7, if we walk in the light as He, literally in the Greek, Himself is in the light, we have fellowship, we're holding hands with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's something about that blood. It's something about the blood of Christ. It's so beautiful. It's needed. It helps us. It helps our conscience. It helps us to know for a fact that when I go to God, He's going to forgive me, all because of the blood of His Son and me coming clean with who He is. Brother Eric and then Sister Bonner.
I was going to say, you can't start with the fence. You got to choose the light. The light of which God is light.
That's right.
Darkness. You can't have both.
That's good. That's right. Sister Evelyn.
When we come and admit our faults in that confession, you're going to get one or the other. You're going to get a stream of encouragement, or you're going to get a stream of criticism. What we hope is that we have an environment of Christians that bring the stream of encouragement so that you will be willing to do it more often. You won't catch yourself going in the wrong. You'll come forward, you'll confess it, because you're going to get a bunch of encouragement to stay away from it. That's the idea of that walking in the light.
That's good. Good. Anyone else? Choices. All right, let's talk about this real quick. Choices. In 1 John 1, in verse number 8, he said, if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. Literally, if we say that there is no decision we have to make, if we say that we have no choice, hold on. In the garden, Adam and Eve had choice. They could have either done what God said, leave that tree alone, or do what they did. If we say there's no possibility of sinning, he said we lie. There's always a possibility of us not doing what is right. Always. But God puts us in a position. Now, I want y'all look at me, please. I'm begging you. Look at me when I say this. God always puts us in a position to make a choice because He knows we can make the right one. He trusts us to make the right choice. But why? Because He made us in His image. He's given us a mindset that we can truly take what He says in His word and make the right decision. We can do it. And He sent His Son to prove it. because he did it. And if I can follow him, I can make the right decision. Well, Brother Mike, what happens when I make the wrong decision? I can make the right decision to right my wrong. You ought to smile because of that. That's joyous that I don't have to remain in a state where I made this bad decision. Well, I'm just going to give up and just continue to live in it. God is saying, no, no, no. You can actually make the right, the wrong right. Brother, Sister Tony, then Brother Brian.
From the very beginning, in Genesis 4, God's talking to Cain.
Yes.
And he said, if you do well, will you not
be accepted?
And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you
rule over it. That's exactly right. That's a powerful passage. Brother Brian.
I was thinking about your statement on we have God puts us in a position to make the right decisions, to not fail. When does he ever put you in the position to say, okay, I've set you up to fail? But we often blame God for our failures, and we can't do that. And then your second point, even when we do fail, he offers us, time permitting, the opportunity to be redeemed again. There's your story of David and contrast with Saul and others who just couldn't get it right. They just wouldn't get it right. God didn't set us up to fail. Our attitude should be, we can do this.
So let's explore this real quick. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at the first three verses. Brother Lance, if you don't mind, let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. I want to show us something real quick. I believe it ought to help us. Why? Because God is not like man. We can be a little harsh. Matter of fact, I know we can be harsh. We can be harsh on each other. We can be harsh on people. We can be harsh on our kids. We can be harsh on people we don't even know. That's not him. As a matter of fact, he expects more out of me because I've been in the Lord longer than someone who disobeyed the gospel 6 months to a year ago. Does he expect them to be right? Yes. But he expects more out of me because you've been at this longer, you know. You know better. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses, what does that say, Brother Lance?
Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. Here's a good word right here. He wants us, Brother Brian, to develop. Hold on, babies, children, toddlers, kids, they stumble along the way, they make mistakes along the way, they rebel along the way, and then they grow up one day and say, hey, I want to do what's right. Christians do the same thing. But then verse 3, he says, taste and see that the Lord is what? Now, taste and see. In other words, experience God. And then he says gracious, but the word literally means useful. Hold on. God says, I'm light. There's no darkness in me. You can take what I give you and it will be very useful in your life. There's some things that we come across and we use on a daily basis has no usage at all. It's a waste of time when you use it. God says, oh, I'm useful. I'm gracious. You take what I'm teaching you, and I guarantee you, if you apply it to your life, it will help you be the better. It will help you make good decisions. So sometimes the old people back in my day used to say, measure twice, what? Cut once. There have been plenty of times, Brother Chad, that I measured once, cut, on my way to Home Depot. Y'all already know. Y'all already know what happened. I didn't measure that right. You get to measuring some marble that's 10, 12 grand, you want somebody to measure it not twice, 3, 4, 5, 6. Are you sure? Because I don't want a lot of caulk there between there. Young people, did y'all hear me? Slow down. Slow your life down. Do not rush to get so old that you don't live and grow and develop while you're young. Get to know who God is now. Young people, listen to me, please. Get to know who He is. Get to know Him. Get to know Him before you even want a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Get to know Him. Get to know what He requires out of you, what He desires out of you. Get to know Him. Get to know His Son. Get to know what He desires. Everything He does is for your good always, all the time. And then you'll put yourself in a position to actually make the right decisions. So when those wrong decisions are presented, you already know, no, that's not good, because that won't keep me holding hands with Him. I want to hold hands with Him. And I can't hold hands with Him if I'm wanting to hold hands with Him. And so look at verse 9. This is the beauty of Christianity. Brother Chad, if you don't mind, 1 John 1, verse number 9. This is the beauty of Christianity. Beauty of Christianity right here in this verse. What does that say, Chad?
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Confessing our sins. Remember this morning we made the comment about David and him sinning with Bathsheba. Nathan came to him, presented the parable. He said, I have sinned. He numbered the people. Appreciate you sending me that information. He numbered the people. His heart smote him. His heart caused him to think about what he did. And he said, I have sinned and done foolishly. Hold on. Young people, brothers and sisters, confessing sin is actually one of the best things you can do, because it actually frees you. Let's look at James 5. Let's look at verse 16 through 19. 16 through 19. Nate Scott. James 5, 16 through 19. The beauty of confessing sin. The beauty of confessing sin, it requires being vulnerable. And I'm going to make a comment off of this in here in a few minutes. It requires us actually having enough strength to come before my fellow brother or even the congregation and saying, I have not been doing what was right. And I've made it right with God, but I need y'all to pray for me. Brother Nate. Yes, please.
Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
I'm going to say something here, right here. One of the difficulties of confessing fault, confessing sin, is the vulnerable state that it puts you in. It puts you in a position where you're opening yourself up for scrutiny. What are people going to say? What are people going to think? But I know some environments, even in the Lord's church, that you wouldn't want to confess nothing nowhere, because they would crucify you. I'm so thankful that this place is not like that. It is so important, brethren, if you don't hear nothing else I've said today, it is so important for us to continue to develop and nurture the environment that we have, that people can actually say, I have sinned. I need special prayer. I need y'all to pray for me. We need that. Why? Because if we don't have it, we'll actually die within our own hearts. We can't afford that. We should always be a people that a person or brethren can come before us and say, I've sinned and I need y'all to pray for me. Or to have a brother or sister to pull them to the side and say, I just need you to pray for me. I haven't been thinking right. I haven't done right. And you fill in the blank. But the hardest thing is to open yourself up because you don't know what that person's going to do with that information. But hold on, brethren, when it's time to get right with God, I guess it really doesn't matter who knows what. When it's time to get right, when it's time to really get right with God, it doesn't matter who knows what. Because we have one goal. What's that goal? What goal do we have?
Be right with God.
Yeah, Brother Leon. The goal is to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Friends, that's the goal. That's what we want to hear. But it's going to require us doing our part, walking with God, making those wrongs right, and allowing others to have opportunity, even ourselves, to make that right when the time is right. Any final thoughts? Yes.